in my 20s, there was no me. It was always about them.
Wow.
It was always about family. I always put you guys first.
Wow.
But I think late 20s is more like me breaking free and being more me.
Mm.
And that's probably when me and my family had the most fights, because they always say in your late 20s, it felt like you were going through puberty.
Moving away from home.
Foreign country.
Foreign language. Don't know anyone except for like two, three other people in our own, same town.
Yep.
Living on your own. Like, it was just...
Using flip phones.
Yeah, we were 21. Time. 20 or 21. Using flip phones.
Welcome to the Asian Soup Podcast. This is your co-host Jules.
And this is your co-host Rox.
The Asian Soup Podcast is your cozy space on the internet where we share and discover stories about one another.
We chat about a range of topics, some serious and some not so serious.
Come sit with us
and get nourished. So welcome to the pod. Today we are talking about navigating through our 20s, so taking a trip down memory lane, and we're going to discuss about a few challenges that we had and how we overcame them, maybe a little story about what was happening or what we learned. So Jules, what was like one of the first things that you remember about your 20s that was really hard that you had to get through?
I think looking back at my 20s, because bit of context, Rox and I are in our mid-30s, yeah, and looking back, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
More than a decade ago.
Yeah.
If you really think about 20. The starting point of your 20s, which is when you're 20 years old.
14 years ago.
Yeah. And I think for me, the most obvious one that we can't skip is probably university.
Yeah.
When we started uni, I mean, I did a double degree.
Mm.
I'm not in like a, oh, I did a double degree. I'm
Same.
It's not like flexing. It's not a flexing thing. It's just, I just picked it because I wanted to go overseas and pick international studies. And I know, same with Rox.
Me too, yeah.
And
that's an arts degree, by the way. So we're just kind of talking it down now. But international studies was like, anyone can do it.
And now we're just sitting on this huge text that I don't know how I feel about. But yes, university, the double degree, that was 5 years of my life. So that's basically half of my 20s. And looking back, it was a big chunk, a really significant time.
Mm.
I know not everybody goes to university in their 20s.
Yeah.
But for me, my personal experience, it was, yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to experience it, and it was challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Too, it was long. Mine was 6 years as well.
Six.
So it's just like, and other people are doing 3 years, you know? I think, you know why I did, sorry, I'm butting in, but why I did international studies in the first place, because the UAI was higher and my Asian parents thought, well, my mom, being Asian, she's like, that's a higher UAI to get in, therefore it must be better. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, I spent longer in uni and that's less time in the workforce and now I'm behind, you know. I don't know why you chose it, but
my Asian mom didn't say anything like that. But it was my Asian brain also had the same thinking. I thought I had the same thinking.
True.
I was like, if I just pick my subject,
yeah,
that's like six UAI points that I didn't, like, that completely went to waste.
Yeah,
so I actually found a course that was quite around similar to my UAI. UAI
so
is your ATAR, by the way.
Yeah,
not called it's not called UAI anymore.
We're old now.
But for our international listeners, UAI or ATAR, it's like your final, what do you call it? Like
in the US, I don't know. Like your entrance exam into uni. From high school.
College,
like your final high school
score.
Score.
And it's out of 100.
Your GPA or whatever.
Yeah. And in Australia, it's like a ranking.
Mm.
So the highest ATAR I think you can get is 99.95. Back in the day when it was UAI, 100 was the highest, right? Mm. And that was what we were all marching towards, or us Asians, not us Asians, us, me and Rox.
Yeah,
we were
in selective schools. You can listen to our previous episode around education. But
it was a big deal. Yeah. And now, you know, we're
You don't entering, want to lose
you're
out.
Picking, you're picking your yeah, course. Yeah. You want to pick something that is, you know, if you have $10, you want to buy something you can buy for $9.50. You don't want
$5.
Yeah, you don't get change, yeah. you know, with this sort of education system, right? So I did also pick, that's so you know, true. I'm in the same boat as that's you. I so picked true. A double degree because I could.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, university was really challenging. And I think what was really challenging was it was just so different to my high school experience. And in high school, I had a really tight community of people because, mm-hmm. you know, you get to make friends, or at least in my case, I made friends for 5 years.
Yeah.
And so you're with this crew and you're all studying together and working towards a common goal. Whereas with university, you don't know anyone and you don't have that support system straight away.
Yeah.
So I felt like the first year of university was really challenging. You have people from all different shapes and sizes and from all places, all in one space. And you're just like, huh? Like, who am I? Who do I talk to? I feel a bit out of place. And I think that's sort of when my confidence levels went down a bit because it wasn't like me in year 12 where you're the oldest in your school and then now you're like the baby again. So that was like an adjustment, but I think the biggest thing was like the work felt really hard for me.
Mm.
Like all the papers that you had to read, I felt that was like, huh, this is so much reading. Everything's so complex. I'm really bad with time management. I don't know what's due when. Like it was just for me, like it hit totally me hard. Different. I think it was the first few weeks of university. I actually never thought I would do this, but I actually had to go into the toilet. To take a breather.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was like, so oh my God, this is like so hard. Like, did I pick the right thing? Well, so I did communications, media arts, and I think the subjects that were really hard were the communication courses.
Oh, okay.
So the topics are really heavy.
Mm.
I didn't study history or society and culture or anything like that prior.
Yeah.
So I just felt like I knew nothing what anybody was talking about. And I'm like, everybody here knows about communication or all these things. And I think I'm really not smart is what I felt.
That's not true.
At the time.
Yeah, at the time.
I felt that like that at the time. Mm-hmm. I know I look back at my little like old self and I'm like, oh, I wish I saw things differently then. But, you know, young me, I was, I felt very lost. And I think I remember when we have these like tutorials where everyone's like sitting around and I think you do your readings and then you're meant to like go around and talk about like your opinion or your views on that certain topic.
Yeah.
So maybe that certain topic was like colonialism.
That's pretty nerve-wracking.
Colonialism in this certain country and the impacts of da-da-da on these people and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, I'm not used to that type of environment and in the sense like just you're just chatting openly about a topic
in a classroom
especially on a topic that I was not familiar with. I probably didn't even do the papers
right.
which you know that probably would have helped if I actually like engaged I didn't read it. Maybe I skimmed it, but it was so hard to
read. It was also new to you that it was just, even though you read it, it was just overwhelming in general.
It's like not English, you know? Yeah. It's really heavy.
It is English, but it was
it is English. It is English.
But it was just another language in a way.
Yeah, it's like.
It was a new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking in that way.
Yeah, because some of these papers were old.
Critical thinking is thinking. What unis try to get you to do, especially in a comms degree or in any degree.
Yeah, but, so that was really hard. And I remember there was 1 week at uni when I went home and I was like crying for a week.
Oh my God, that sounds so sad.
And I kind of reflect back on that, you know, here and there. And I'm just like, wow, it must have been so hard for me back then. And I remember I was like, couldn't stop crying. And I remember it was the first time I felt like that. And I was just explaining to my mom. And I was like, Mom, it just feels like there's like a rock here on my chest. And it just won't come off. And Mom's like, oh.
So you're just scared. Just, you're actually so scared.
Yeah, it's just everything. I was overwhelmed. I didn't want to go. But I don't know what
switch came
to me. I just thought, I'm just going to do it. And I don't know where this came from, but I told myself I'm not going to quit. And my new goal is I'm going to finish this degree, which is actually not the smartest thing to do. Because, like, if you don't, you know, in my mind, I thought I had to get through this degree, whereas that's not the reality. You can actually change degrees.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, I'm going to get through this five-year degree. Wow. I mean, and look, I did commit and I did finish and I'm glad I did. But I also wish I knew I could have quit and I could have just done something different as well in hindsight.
You just went hard and you just plowed through it. Is it like?
I think I just decided to take it one day at a time, 1 week at a time. And then and you see what happens.
Got used to it.
And then you do get used to it. And I remember you learn and you adapt. And I think by the fifth year, when I came back from international studies and everything, I remember thinking, wow, I really know how to do this university thing. Because I was starting to get like distinctions and I started to be more engaged with the work.
Mm.
I felt more comfortable. I felt, you know, if I had no friends in a class, I felt I was like fine.
Mm.
Yeah, I just was more used to it.
Yeah.
And
compared to like first week, of course.
Yeah.
So different.
Yeah. So I think like looking back, I'm really glad that I got through it.
Mm.
And how did I overcome it? I think one thing that really helped me was the friends I met along the way. And they happened to be my friends, really good friends today as well.
Yeah.
And I remember one of my friends, Michael.
Yeah.
So he was like, he studied the exact same course as me.
Yeah.
And I found out that he did exactly the same course, media arts and production and international studies, Japanese. I think that was like the week where I was kind of like, oh, I think I'm going to, like, I really don't think I can keep going. Like, I kind of want to really quit. Then? And then, I met him.
Yeah.
And then he told me he does the same course as me. And I was like, me too. And I remember we were in the food court and I like just started, by the way, he's Asian.
Yeah.
So it was really weird that there was an Asian guy doing the same thing as me because primarily Asians didn't do my course as much at the time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you know, like I'm really unhappy. I find everything to be so hard. And I remember I like poured my heart out to him for like 1 hour.
Thanks, Michael.
But Michael is the most blasé, like whatever person. Like he's just like, oh, he was just listening to me. And I think, he became like my buddy. And then I think you find another buddy and then you find like, you so have this little group.
To have a uni buddy,
and then you just start like, you know, before essays are due,
messaging
each other and you're all like going through hell.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's not just you. And I think that really helped knowing that other people are also understanding how you go through what you're going through and knowing that, you're not alone.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. Like at the time it was so hard.
Yeah.
But now I can look back and talk about it so lightly and it just shows like
you grow so much.
You can grow, you can get through it and it's just a memory now but I don't know. This is really walking down memory lane.
This is really you talking about it is really making me walk through like my past too. I almost wanted to skip uni. Like when I was thinking of the few themes, I didn't have it in my list before. And I was like, shit, uni was a big part of my 20s. I actually like just erased it almost from my memory. And then I was hanging out with a uni friend today. Not today, but recently. Sorry, I can't even talk. And she was talking about, because I did fashion and international studies. And she was like, I just think anyone who's been through fashion and our degree and our career in fashion can do anything because it was so fucking hard and the pay was so shit when we got a job that you can do anything. And then I was like, I don't even remember it being that hard. But then when I really dig deep and you're talking about it, I think I had a bit of a different experience like first week of uni. Like uni was hard, but hard for a few different reasons for me. Like for me, the fashion part was really fun. It wasn't that readings heavy. If it was readings, it was like design theory, you know, why people dress and like,
oh, that's fun. You
know, embodying fashion as a way of expressing yourself. Like it's really fun reading.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed that. And like, you know, how dressing affects like gender and expression and stuff like that and art and like, so that was the degree itself was really fun for me, but the hard part was all the practical stuff for fashion. Like we had to go buy fabric, like our bags were heavy, like going to uni was heavy, had to bring all these rulers, had to buy like paper rolls and do pattern making and sew, and then sometimes I sew something and it's like shit and you know like what the hell, and pattern making is like really hard, so you have to kind of use different skills, I guess, so from like conception to actually making something and then getting criticized, so it was very different, and we still had like a lot of essays to do and things, but uni was really fun because it was like in my mind it was like I was trying to pursue my such a girly dream to be, you know, want to be a fashion designer, and at the same time because I grew up in an all girls school, my degree was a lot of girls too, and it was just like really easy to like blend in, and because the degree was so small, everyone knew each other because so it wasn't like, you know, other degrees later and it's like every class you go to, it's like different people. You don't know these people. They're different classes, different degrees, but you share a same subject maybe. I don't know. It was like only those people doing the same thing all the time. We met no other people. Like we were kind of alone almost in the uni. But I think what I found hard was like balancing work and uni and, you know, making money for the first time and then saving up for our year away. Like that was really hard for me, I think, because I had to be like very disciplined and save money, and that was like stressful. So it was more like managing my time and trying to get as many hours and also passing uni and also making sure I finish all the assignments and stuff. Like all that was hard. And I think final year of uni was really hard because we had to do a collection, a show, and living abroad was also hard. A fashion
show.
Yeah, so living abroad was fourth year.
To pull off.
Yeah, so living abroad was your fourth year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was really hard because I felt like I did a lot of growing up there because it was our first time moving away from home.
Foreign country.
Foreign language. Don't know anyone except for like two, three other people in our same town.
Yep.
Living on your own. Like it was just
using flip phones.
Yeah, we were 21. 20 or 21. Using flip phones.
Yeah, 21, 22.
Yeah, I got my it was really relying on Skype.
Yeah.
And Messenger and I don't know. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
We traveled that whole year without a really, really smartphone. I remember there was a really crappy version of Facebook on your phone.
Oh, yeah, but I remember.
I think
it was connected. Not an app. I think you had to maybe use the browser. Was it an app? Oh,
maybe. Maybe. I think so. I think you had to, like, log in. I don't know if it was an app.
It's that long ago, guys. We can't even remember.
It was not easy. Yeah, and we'd carry our digital cameras around and stuff. I don't know. It was just – seems like a completely different time over a decade ago now. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was like a struggle to even call your family. You know, you have to wait for Wi-Fi and stuff. But yeah, final year, we had to make a collection and there's a runway. And I remember everyone was just like not sleeping and doing a lot of like all-nighters. Like
lots of all-nighters.
Or lots of all-nighters. Yes. And then lots of crying in lots final year. Crying. Lots of crying because there's like critiques and some people got into the pressure, some people didn't. Some people didn't get the marks they want. Some people, you know, it was just a lot of girls like in the sewing rooms and like in the print rooms just staying there like all night until it's like 10 o'clock. God.
You know like those fashion like reality TV shows where they're all trying to like make some dress? It was kind of like
that. It was kind of like that. It's like, oh, it's like always those same people that are hanging out at uni because – the uni facilities were like all good, but then some people would always be at home because maybe they had like a studio set up and everything. But yeah, it was so fun, but also so hard. So that's all. That's what I remember about uni.
How did you survive it? I mean, you're standing here, sitting here with us today.
I mean, I think what you said about meeting the few friends in uni really help both for the fashion course and international studies because like you're going through such a huge growth and unknown and learning phase that it's so nice to have a friend go through it with you and in the same way, but like you know, you obviously have different feelings, but yeah, these friends that I've made from those experiences are like some of, yeah, the closest friends I've had. But, you know, some aren't in contact much these days, but yeah, it's just, I couldn't have done it without having those people. It was just,
thank you, friends. Yeah,
thank you, friends. I just can't imagine it. It was so crazy.
Do you reckon there are people out there who just do it alone?
Well, my brother, because of COVID, he was pretty much just on online uni.
How
and he
do
does
it?
I don't think he, sorry, bro, but I don't think he has that many uni friends.
But did he finish the course?
He's not fully finished. He's got like half a year to go.
Mm.
So I think from last year or the year before, he went to uni a bit more. But I don't know if that means he has more friends. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It's very different. Mm. I don't know. I have to ask him.
Yeah. But wow, I also fully went down memory lane, hearing everything that you just said. I think I totally forgot about the part how I used to work and do uni at the same time as well.
That's hard.
A whole part I deleted.
I had never worked before because high school, my parents didn't let me find a job. My time was going to tutoring. They wanted me to just get tutoring and get a good score, like, you know, my Asian parents. But they're like, oh, don't waste time in working. Like, you don't need to work yet. And then when I wanted to find a job after school, it was so freaking hard. I don't know how it was for you, but anyways, it was hard.
So yeah, Rox, you were just talking about how the last part of uni was really hard for you and also balancing with work.
Yeah.
So I think
like working casual.
Oh, working casual. Yeah. And that part I completely forgot. And I think with Aussie, like Asian Aussie people or Aussies in general, when we go to uni, we just usually live at home, right?
Because we're in the same city as the uni.
Mm-hmm.
We're not moving cities and
living
in a dorm or something.
Yeah, there's only a few major universities in Australia and people do move interstate.
Yeah, they do.
But, you know, at least in our circles, most people stayed at home and then just traveled into the city to go to their local university. I think we were all working because we were trying to save up for this overseas one-year trip, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has their own, like, goals.
Yeah.
Some people want to save up because they want to party or whatever. But we had, like, a whole year of
living overseas
that we were saving up for. But at the same time, for me, my parents decided to buy a cafe business. So I think it was like maybe end of first year or second year university or maybe first year. I can't remember, but they decided to buy a cafe and it was meant to be like a little family business. And I got really excited. It's like, yeah, I've always wanted to, you know, work somewhere. And, you know, in the beginning it's all fun.
Yeah.
But the more we did it, the more we realized actually this business isn't that profitable and that required me to do more hours and getting, you know, paid just random cash here and there.
Yeah.
So I ended up turning this whole cafe business, putting it on my shoulders and thinking I need to help my family.
Oh no, that's so hard.
So, I mean,
how do you even have time for uni when you do that?
Luckily, uni, I remember it didn't take up too many hours of my week. I think it was like 10, 15 hours a week. And then that was like uni full time. I did 4 subjects or something like that. And then I just thought, you know, I'll just do the bare minimum to pass, get a credit. Let's focus on this family business. Let's try and turn it around, da, 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 da. So, yeah, I think I was working like 6-7 days, like really long hours. And I think that was like a time in my life when I really thought, you know, my parents need me. They're relying on me. This business is equally as mine as it is theirs. And the best way I could support them is give them my time. And that was like my 20-something year old brain way of thinking.
Yeah, that's so, your good daughter, obedient good daughter thinking. Yeah.
And obviously that will build up lots of resentment. And because of that, I couldn't go to lots of like social events. You know, I remember my friends would go to the beach and I would be like working. And the hours at this cafe, it was like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So sometimes we'll do like
oh my God.
Whole day shift.
and my God. It was just
7 a.m. to 10 p.m. I would like die.
Yeah, it was really That's not tough. Easy. It was not easy. And I think looking back, I'm just like, wow, that's how, I don't know if attached is the right word, but that's how much I wanted, like I cared so much about my family. Like I would do anything. I would sacrifice anything for this. And I couldn't see it as me and them. It's my parents' decision to do this business. I just took it on.
Because you want to help your family and it is a family business. That's what makes it so hard.
So hard. And I literally took it on as my own problem.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really tough. How do you get out of that?
It was really hard. And I think at a certain point, I just thought, oh, I can't continue doing this. And it's just physically so demanding. And yeah, it was just too hard. And I think I was starting to get really resentful towards my parents. Mm. So I sort of started to like say, I don't think I won't do it anymore. And I sort of started stepping away.
Mm.
And then eventually they sold the business.
Yeah.
And that was like such a big lesson for me.
Yeah.
Don't do business with your family, or if you are, just be really careful about where your boundaries are, because it can get so enmeshed. And so every time I see like somebody working for their family business, like for free, I just find that like so, I'm like, oh, you know, like live your own life.
Yeah.
Is how I feel, because looking back, you know, it was such a great learning experience. And I really do think that because of those years, I am who I am today. Like I love like starting businesses and I love trying new things and stuff like that. But also I always wonder, would it have been different if I had just gone my own path from the beginning? Because I always felt a little bit like, oh, I'm a few years behind my career because I put these extra years into my family's businesses.
Mm.
You know, I was always the side person trying to support, but I never put me first.
But it never benefited you that much. Like you were just kind of helping them.
Yeah, I'm always like the helper. But if I had put me first as the main person and me back me and me go down my own path, I wonder, you know, would it have been different? It's always a what if, right?
It's always what if.
Yeah.
And then we can go on and on. But then I liked how, but you like, as in, if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't have learnt that either. Like for you to go through that, then now you're like, I need to back myself. I really liked it when you said me back me.
Me back me.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, in hindsight, I mean, now I'm so grateful, like so grateful I had those experiences, because I truly believe like that this is a bit corny, but like the challenges that you face then and like or even now, it's like that lesson that you needed to learn. I know it's really corny, but for me, it was that in my 20s, there was no me. It was always about them.
Wow.
It was always about family. I always put you guys first.
Wow.
But I think late 20s is more like me breaking free and being more me.
Mm.
And that's probably when me and my family had the most fights, because they always say in your late 20s, it felt like you're going through puberty. Because I started rebelling doing or, more
yeah, doing
things
own
my
things.
Own way.
That's so interesting. I feel like I'm the opposite. Like I feel like my early 20s was like all about me. Like I was just being selfish. My mom didn't want me to do fashion because she was like, it's really hard to make money in fashion, which is true. And she always wanted me to do like accounting or something like safe, you know? And I didn't. I like rebelled against that. I was like, it was just my early 20s was like me. It was me, my work, my internship, like my uni. Like I didn't even have the ability to help now because I should have been anyway. Like I've always wanted to help my family more, but I actually didn't have the means to when in my early 20s. Like there was no family business. I wasn't making much money. Mm-mm. Like I only made enough for myself, like to take care of myself.
Mm.
But yeah, I think it's swapped now.
Yeah, it's you're like I'm totally opposite. You're such an obedient daughter.
No, but I'm opposite from you now.
Yeah, we've swapped.
Yeah, we swapped. But so either funny. Way, I think you're still an obedient daughter. It's just you need to have your own thing.
Yeah, but it's also what it is as well, right? I feel like a lot of people will be able to relate, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's just different circumstances. You have to do certain things at certain times, but at that time, you might have not thought there was any other option. You're like, this is all I can only do this right now.
Yeah.
Like, they need me.
It's like almost like your duty.
Yeah.
As their daughter or as
like
their
son. Like, you don't want to watch them fail either, right? Like, that's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like,
but honestly, like, yeah, when I look back, there were such good memories as well. Like,
yeah.
I'm so lucky that I got to experience, you know, being in that position, running a business at such a young age.
Yeah, you must have learned so much.
I learned so much. I think it really put me into growth mode. Yeah.
So another part of my 20s that was really hard, I thought, navigating was going through a quarter life crisis and just going back to uni again after 6 years and getting into digital marketing through like a master's of commerce. I don't know what I did. Like now, who knows where I am. But yeah, I thought that was a great idea because fashion was really tough. The pay was really shit when I was in there for a couple of years. And then I was like, I can't not, like, I don't know. I was on 35K and it was not okay. And I was like, this is really bad. And
I think that's a huge part of our 20s, which is you get shit pay.
You get shit pay.
That is like, we have to, and it's we not, have to mention that.
And it's not that it's shouldn't, like, I get that you get an entry level pay, but what I was getting paid as an assistant in fashion was below average. So it was like, I had moved out. I could hardly, like, I had moved out and I was paying rent. So it was like, I had nothing to save. I just didn't see myself getting that far, or maybe I wasn't that passionate about fashion design in the end. So making that decision to do uni and then getting a job in digital marketing and then moving to Hong Kong, blah, 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 all that, that was really hard for me, I think. And that was like a big change. It was like, you know, the second half of my 20s. But yeah, you can listen to all about that in our episode back in season one, where we really dive deeper into our career transitions.
Yeah, what was the hardest part in the whole career transition for you?
I think two things. Like, I think uni, going back to uni was harder than I thought because I had never done a degree like that, like just a commerce degree. So like,
were the topics hard? Like my first
basics
year
in accounting, and then like writing an essay on, I don't know, some subjects were really interesting, and then like I wanted to get into marketing and stuff, so it was interesting, but some of it was really hard just getting back into uni, being like a critical thinker again. And like, I remember writing an essay and I think I got like the mark was really shit, like I just passed, and at the end the comment was like, but what is your point of view? And I had just missed out on that. You know, I was like, oh, what's my point of view? Okay. You know, because a lot of the time I'm like, okay, I'm referencing everything. I'm putting in all the quotes and references, but it's really about, but what do you think about all of this?
I don't have an opinion.
Yeah. So it was like getting back into that groove. And in the end, it was fine. And I got through it with friends as well. And then the other part was moving in to Hong Kong. And while career transitioning and settling in a new place, even though I have extended family there, but yeah, just new job, new working culture, new friends.
That is such a big
change.
Did you know what you were getting yourself into when you made the decision to go across the world, start a new job, new life?
Honestly, it sounds so like fun. Like, it sounds so fun, but sometimes I think back to some of the years I had in Hong Kong, and it was not easy. Like the first job I had there, like the pay wasn't great. Like I was living at my auntie's for a while. Like it was not like as nice as it sounds, if you know what I mean. It wasn't easy. Mm. Yeah, I would say. How about your career transition? Like, what was the hardest thing for you?
Yeah, so if you listen to our episode 2, I also share my career change story. I just want to mention again that I think it's the money. Like,
yeah,
you realize in your 20s you work so hard and you're like, oh my God, I'm getting paid peanuts.
I think I want to get paid more for putting in less like work and labor and that kind of thing. So yeah, I sort of thought, yes, I'm going to do a career change. And I think for me, the hardest thing was not being an expert. If that makes sense.
Like starting from zero again.
Yeah. And that's something that in my 20s, I was really not good at. Like I was really uncomfortable with being the non-expert, the not smart one, the one that's non-experienced. Like it was really uncomfortable because I like being the smartest, the most efficient, you know, the one that knows everything. You know, I want to be that person. But when you're not, you're like, oh, I feel like really out of my depth. Whereas now I think in my 30s, when I am in that really uncomfortable place, I sort of embrace it more. I'm like, oh, of course I'm not an expert. This is new to me. Like I'm a little bit more realistic like that. But in my 20s, I think I had way more high expectations. So I think that was the hard part.
That is hard.
Yeah, not being good at it yet when I wanted to be really good at it.
And sometimes I also look back at my 20s and I'm like, I thought I knew so much, but I was an idiot. You know, like, sometimes I think about mistakes I did in like jobs that I worked in and I'm like, I was an idiot, you know? And but I thought I was not. So, and then, it's just, I think as you get older, you get a little bit more humble, but at the same time, you do have more experience. So I think it's just like that balancing confidence and like, I don't know. I think in my 20s, I probably thought I some situations I thought I knew everything, but I really fucked up. So,
In my 20s, one thing I look back at in terms of like work stuff is I think I really, I was way more people pleasing and I really needed everybody to like me and I put so much energy into that. I just wanted my manager to really like me and approve me. That too. And it's like, oh, how was your weekend? I don't know, a bit suck-up-y. I don't know. Like I think I really wanted them to see me and really like me. It was just so important to me in my 20s. But I think now it's more like, you know what, like if they like me, cool. But we don't need to be like friends, you know, like whereas before I had to be friends with everyone. So I think that's something that I felt like, oh, yeah, that's just the way it is. But it's just funny when you look back, it's like you don't know everything. Like it's not the way you think isn't always the right way, if that makes sense.
So, sometimes I'm like, what was I doing? Yeah, we got through it. I guess one last thing I wanted to mention was in my 20s, I think navigating through it that was really hard was like romantic relationships for me because I had a couple of maybe just two main like long relationships in my 20s and I don't look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I regret everything or anything. It's not about that, but it's just about, I don't know, when you said people pleasing and your career, I think that's what I was like in my romantic relationships. I think in my 20s it was more about like pleasing them or but also being so frustrated because I was not I might not have been happy and then I might have not put myself first but been like trying to salvage or make sure that someone likes me or that they like me in a way. I don't know.
I always then, get like goosebumps when you compare my work relationship, like my your relationship work with work and your love relationship. It's always similar.
Isn't it weird?
We always have so many parallels.
But it's your every career time. And then it's my my love relationships. So, I was just like a people pleaser and
like you really wanted your partner to like
to
you.
To like me, yeah. I really wanted them to.
But don't they already like you if you're already, in a relationship?
Yeah, they
with
already
them?
Like me, but I think I also put too much pressure on myself to like find the one. You know, I'd have this pressure of like finding the one and, like having a kid one day, getting married. So I think I was like an annoying girlfriend in my in your 20s. Like guys don't want to think about that. Do you know what I mean? Like, not everyone.
Well, at least not the guys that you met.
At least the guys that I was with. But No, that I can't say that. Not everyone, but it was just not the right timing. Yeah, that's what it was for me, I think. Mm, and
that's not easy.
Takes a lot of... I can't say there was like a huge change, but I feel like when I met my husband, when we weren't like first in Hong Kong and stuff, and our whole relationship was what more like I actually felt very comfortable being myself, and I could be comfortable focusing on my own endeavors and my own goals and my own hobbies. Whereas before it was more about like pumping up the other person and make sure I'm supporting there to support the other person's career or helping them with something. And like pushing them, like it sounds so pushy, but I was like maybe pushing them or like helping them
succeed
or mm-hmm. do whatever, and like just trying to help them and please them, oh right?
God, yes.
But then finally when I was with Simeon, it was more like, oh, it's so chill. Like he's doing his own thing because he's a little bit older than me. He's doing his own thing. Like I don't need to push him. I need to push myself. Like it's time, it's time for myself now.
You backing you?
Yeah, me backing me. Finally, like. I know, you know, we haven't been together for that long and we're married and stuff, but yeah, it's just like I feel very lucky. Like, I don't know. It's just like I think about my 20s and I'm like, what the hell was going on? And so, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Was that really cheesy?
No, I love cheese.
You love cheese.
So to any of our listeners in their 20s, yeah. or anyone who might have be going through something similar to what you went through, what's one thing that you would tell them?
I just think there's always someone else out there. If like I think if when you're in a relationship and you're just so sad, and just think about how sad you are and think about why, and is it, I don't know, it's just sometimes when you're in something, you're so fixated on making it work that you forget about what you want and who you were originally, or why are you being so desperate? You know, I don't know, just ask yourself that. You know, if you're being that desperate, that's not okay. Like something's wrong. Like
he should be desperate for you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just silly. It's just, I feel like, yeah, it's just, I hope, anyway, I'm sure people need to go through it to learn. Like you really have to go through it. Has to be that crap for you to learn to take yourself out of a situation. But yeah, I'm not saying like it was all crap, you know, it's just a learning. There were good times, obviously, and I don't regret it. How about you? Any other challenges? Any other final thoughts on navigating your 20s?
I keep thinking about the money thing. Because I just think like when you're in your 20s, you're working on minimum wage, most of us in your 20s. And then in your 30s, you got more years under your belt and it gets a lot easier. Like I just remember money was always, you're always strapped for cash. Mm. And that was always a challenge. But I'm so glad that even if we were, you know, we were so poor, we would like spend all of our savings to go traveling. And I'm so glad that you know how there are those like young people who save all their money into stocks and then they never went out and that kind of thing. I'm so glad that in my 20s, I still lived it up. I'm so glad that I got to travel, even if it was cheap travel and it's just like a bunch of us in a room, like sharing or like road trips or all the low budget stuff. But the fun things, like,
because you can't do that in your 30s.
You can't do that in your 30s. We're so picky now.
Backpacking.
We're so picky. We're like, oh, guys, do we all get
our over?
Do we get our own room? Like, we're so much pickier now.
Yeah.
But I think those 20s where it was hard and you have fights with your friends, because they're snoring or whatever. But those like memories, I think, I cherish them so much.
Yeah. When you say that, I'm like, you know what, 20s was, there was so much fun in the 20s. Like it was your first time for so many things, like just the innocence and like
naivety.
Yeah, traveling and just being able to have fun.
And the, what do you call it? The boundless, is it boundless energy? Is that the right word?
Yeah. You have so much energy.
So much energy.
Yeah. You have so much energy and you can eat so much and always be skinny.
Your metabolism is, you know, very good.
exactly. So good. And, you know, just keep tanning your body. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're no wrinkles yet.
So, yeah, I wouldn't change anything, I think. It was so fun.
Mm.
Aw, memories.
I love recording that episode. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
Thanks for walking down memory lane into our 20s. I hope that gave a little glimpse of who we used to be.
Oh, I know. Hopefully it made you kind of think about your 20s as well, or maybe you're in your 20s. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, tell us a story, or, yeah, did we spark any memories in your 20s? Let us know.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you. Bye.